Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It's Monday and that can only mean one thing. Radio Newark Sport is back on your wireless. Tony, you know what to do. Yes, Mr. Smith, it is indeed a wireless. Newark FlowServe, it's 4 to keep their 100% record to the start of the season intact. Newark Rugby Club record a win that gets Rob Wardman looking through the history books. And Newark Ladies hit boots for 4 in the season opener. Roche, Rob and Paul update us on the events from Lowfields, Kellam Road and the Magnus. We're going to take a look at the stories, both local and national. And we've got a Monday moan. In fact, we've got 2 Monday moans. I'm Rick Bradley. He's Tony Smith. And this is Radio Newark Sport. Of which was another busy weekend for the sports contingent of this radio station. Well, at least for half of the sports contingent of this radio station. My weekend against Tony's weekend. I had a president's lunch at Newark Rugby Club. Tony had fish, chips and sand. Yeah, I spent the whole weekend, I think, at Kellam Road. He spent the whole weekend paddling for some inexplicable reason at Skeg Vegas. I want to know, Mr. Smith, where's my stick of rock?
Oh, sorry. Oh, I knew there was something.
You forgot it, didn't you?
I had a wonderful weekend in Skegness. Yesterday, I was sat at 8 o'clock in the morning, leaning against one of the struts in the pier in Skegness, reading a book, and it was like Benidorm. It was gorgeous. Absolutely wonderful. I really enjoyed my weekend.
Needless to say, he slept under the pier or not, because no, it was slightly the worst for wear.
It was missionary work. I was teaching Skegness people how to drink.
But don't tell the wife that one. Tony, another big weekend. We're going to talk about it, just me and thee tonight. We're going to talk about the weekend. We've got the guys on the phone, all of which I think will be fairly buoyant.
Yes.
They should be.
I got a lovely text from Craig Roach on Saturday evening or Sunday morning, I can't remember, but it was wonderful to hear they'd won 4-0 in my absence.
So, we're going to talk local football. I want to just move Mondays on a little bit and talk 2 or 3 things from outside our area.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about the Aviva Premiership Rugby with Rob Wardman when he comes on, because I know you won't understand rugby. So, we're going to do that. And we've got a little section later on, non-league football, because I know there's a lot of people local that likes non-league football. They get their enjoyment from football from the non-league game rather than the professional high and mighty we're perfect and earn millions of pounds a year footballer. So we're going to have a look at that as well.
Apart from the financial side of it, which is a very expensive day out if you're going to watch Premiership football, it's just a better place to be is non-league. It's proper football. And it's just, I mean, like sort of me and a couple of mates, Bob and Simon, we go along to...
Is this sort of fictional, mate?
No.
Me, Bob and Simon.
The real mates.
Sounds like Bungle, Zippy and George.
No, the real people. But we go watching FC United home and away. And it's just a great day out at a non-league ground these days.
Well, FC United are one of the teams I'm going to talk about.
I would rather go see FC United than Manchester United, because it's just proper football and it's not sort of cost you an arm and a leg to sort of join the prawn sandwich brigade.
I had a cracking weekend at Kelham Road. Rob will tell you about Saturday's match, but before Saturday's match, one was invited on the president's table for a Kelham Road luncheon.
Oh.
Yes, as one, you know, as one in the stature of, you know.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Massive thank you to Alan Swain and to everybody at New York Rugby Club. Fantastic meal, fantastic company. And as it turned out, a great afternoon with the result as well. The next afternoon was back down there again for, and I'm going to tell you a bit more in the headlines, the Rugby Club Girls, it was the NLD, not Lincolnshire, Derbyshire, Autumn Festival, Tennis-side Festival.
Yeah.
The sun shone, as you've already said, the sun was shining. Just one thing now, Abby Hammond, the flying Newark winger, and that was it. She escaped, she was off down the wing. This rather large young lady from Castleford come over and sort of tackled her in the only way that sort of giant A-stacks or sort of Mick McManus would have done, with a forearm smash straight across the throat.
Really?
Abby, bless her, scored the try before she collapsed. She ran on to score the try and then she collapsed. That's what you call a sports person.
Mm.
Abby got taken to hospital.
Really?
It was a bit, it looked a bit serious at time, but just to say now, she's on the mend, she's at home, she's well. Bit of a panic attack, I think, when she lost, you know, anything up there.
Yeah.
But that's gone and forgotten about. So Abby's back, but fantastic afternoon's rugby by the girls. But I'll tell you all about that one again in these headlines. And away from our dedicated reports, Newark Town suffered their sixth league defeat of the season, 4-2 at Thorn Colliery. Collingham got a draw, their seventh in the Central Midlands North Division. They shared six goals at Dinnington. And a Retford Town actually lead the way in that division. Southall are 4 points behind Flowserve at the top of the Not Senior League. How good is that? Flowserve 1, Southall 2. Mm. Isn't that's fantastic. That's brilliant. Especially the way it is round as well. They recorded their sixth victory in nine outings at Bilborough on Friday evening. And over 350 girls took part in the NLD Festival at Kelham Road, with the Newark under-18s finishing runners-up, under-13s and 15s also doing well.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Right, Monday moan. I'm going to have a moan every Monday.
What are you moaning about, Mick?
Right, so there's two Monday moans. You would have mismatched the day because you was underneath Skeggy Pier, weren't you? So, OK, that's not a problem. We can't get on there. Huddersfield against Burnley. It was hardly the most dramatic match, and I think it appeared on Match of the Day at about 9:15. Some second-rate Huddersfield forward decided to try and win a penalty by the most awful blatant dive you ever did see.
Was he booked?
He was booked. But this got me thinking, and I know now the FA have decided that they can look back at this retrospective and book him on Monday. Okay, that's okay. But if that referee had either been Stuart Atwell or Mike Dean or somebody that was really not looking what was going off, and the penalty had been awarded, and Huddersfield had come away with a 1-0 victory, it's all right. Come Monday morning, the FA saying, "Well, we're going to give him a yellow card for that because it was a dive." The result still stands.
Exactly.
So, where's the deterrent? Because at the worst, the very worst that player could have got was a yellow card. Mm. The very best that player could have got was 3 points for his team. It's downright cheating. Mm. And you're cheating your fellow professionals. And that's wrong. And it's got to stop.
But I don't know how you could get around it, because when you sort of view it retrospectively on Monday morning, you can't change the result.
No, exactly.
And so it's if you could, then football's going to a funny dark place, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, yeah.
What the referee should have done to that Huddersfield player is send him off there and then.
Yeah.
And put his team down to 10 men. then he wanted being such a hero. Would he?
No, but it is.
Okay, if the referee's made a mess of it, he's made a mess of it. But if he sends him off, and it happens two or three times,
yeah.
They'll stop diving.
If
for a booking, what's the problem? If you get 10 a season.
If you lose because you've not played well, fair enough. Just get better next time. But if you lose to somebody cheating, that just leaves a
sour taste.
This
is in the same weekend when a Newcastle player got stamped on by a Brighton player. Okay, the FA have gone on to that. Wayne Rooney got assaulted. I mean, you'll see the mess he's in. And I'm not a Rooney fan. And apparently Crouch put a tackle in, which he's not going to be very proud of. All this didn't get noticed by the referees.
Oh, this was on the match of the day that sounds like the best ever that I missed.
Yeah, well, you only missed it because you was under the pier at Skegg. I might have mentioned.
I wasn't under the pier. I was leaning against it.
Right, so that's that one. Until they start sending them, until they start sending them off, nothing's going to change because there's no deterrent. A booking is not a deterrent.
No,
rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Right, moan two. You're going to have to help me out here.
Okay.
What on earth is NFL? And why is it being played at Wembley? And how the hell can they find 80,000 people who know about it?
Well, it's the National Football League in America, American football.
Soccer.
No. It's you know, American football.
Right. Well, what's that then?
It's where you got quarterbacks and they sling out the sort of passes and stuff like that.
So they can't kick it, so they have to throw it.
There's a bit of kicking as well.
So there's no skill.
But it's place kicking. There's a lot of skill and brutality. It's a wonderful sport. A team from Mansfield once came over to Newark to set themselves up at Devon Park and play American football. I didn't know a single one of the laws of the game, and so I asked my auntie in Bradford if she would buy me a shirt that she really liked the colour of, and fortunately, then I would support that team and then watch it on Channel 4 and then get to know the laws. Unfortunately, she bought me San Francisco's 49ers, who just went on to have their most successful period in their entire history for the next 3 or 4 years. So that was very, very fortunate. But the team at Mansfield, the team from Mansfield at Devon Park, they were all talking in American. You know, yeah. It's like, you know they're from Mansfield, and it's like me ducks and stuff like that, but they're all talking American.
If you're old enough and you're local enough, you remember when there was a theme park out at Ilkeston, Was it American Adventure or something?
Yeah, that's right,
And they all pretended to be American. And when you went in there, you always got, have a nice day, me duck. You can't take the Mansfield out of the Mansfield.
The American Adventure Park was the last place I've ever been on a fairground ride. Because we were on some ride that tipped you upside down and all sorts of things. It was actually opened by Buzz Aldrin. And it was the scariest thing ever. And me and Lucy were walking around about half an hour later going, oh, my God.
Let's try working with you for an hour.
Oh, she has done that as well.
So while you were sort of eating fish chips and sand and sleeping under the pier, as Maya mentioned, it was local derby weekend, wasn't it, in professional football? And I said we'll talk about professional football. Rangers played Celtic.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Which seemed pretty rubbish, to be quite honest, apart from the highlight seemed to me the Rangers manager falling out with Celtic's Scott Robinson about an unfortunate elbow.
Scott Brown.
An unfortunate elbow, two unfortunate elbows. But
I mean, if you've ever met
him... on the pitch, it didn't seem to sort of work.
If you've ever actually met him, you would fall out with Scott Brown, because he's horrible. But Celtic had actually had 18 shots on goal. And if they'd have taken half the chances, it would have been 9 or 10, which is what Rangers deserved.
It would have been 9 if they had 18.
Yeah.
I was good at maths.
But if they'd have shown sharpness in front of goal, it would have been a landslide. So Celtic were superb. Celtic are superb, providing they're only playing Scottish teams. It's when they get into Europe they start getting a few problems.
Or the Faroe Islands. Orkney or Scilly Isles.
Once they come up against the good lads, they're all right to play Scottish teams.
So it got me looking round because I can remember Celtic Rangers used to be a bit like new in RHP.
Yeah, it used
forget to. The football, yeah. So that didn't happen.
They used to leave the ball off for the first 20 minutes, let them get on with it.
We had to find a local derby that was a bit intense. So we found Istanbul local derby, which is Fenerbahce against Beşiktaş, or whatever you call it, Beşiktaş. The home side won 2-1 and was 5 sent off. That's more like it.
I think it was that derby that's usually sort of preceded by a goat getting its throat slit and sort of dripping blood on players' boots or something like that as a sign of good luck. Obviously not good luck for the goat, but, you know, I mean, I'm sure that's something to do with
it. There's three red cards in the last 5 minutes of the match. I want to end this.
Yeah, you can't beat games like that, can you?
But I spoke to two people who actually went to Sheffield yesterday for the Steel City derby, and both of them had told me, and both of them go to a lot of big matches, that's the best atmosphere inside a football ground they've ever known.
Was that Hillsborough or Bramall Lane?
Hillsborough.
Because that is a cracking atmosphere. It really is. I'm fortunate to have reported on Sheffield Wednesday for a number of massive games at Hillsborough, and that is one of the best atmospheres in the country. Fantastic place.
Yeah, and they say so as well. When Sheffield Wednesday equalised to make it 2-2, for the next 90 seconds, the Sheffield Wednesday supporters really made that place rock.
Yeah.
Okay, only for 90 seconds until they conceded again.
I know, unfortunately, Nottingham Forest fans have very sad memories of Hillsborough because of that occasion.
Yes.
Which is tremendously sad. And Trevor Frecknell has written a magnificent book about Hillsborough that actually helped him an awful lot. And I've actually read the book, and it is superb. It's an absolutely magnificent book. Unfortunately, Trevor is not very well these days. And, you know, I really wish him all the best because he's a wonderful man.
Evening Post?
Evening Post, Sports Editor, yeah. Absolute great bloke. Me and him went to the Kids Olympics at the Alexandra Stadium in Birmingham and had a fantastic day together.
I think you are right, Forest fans, Hillsborough for that reason, but I would have felt the place could sort of.
I know Hillsborough.
Baseball ground used to at Derby,
yeah,
when,
it did,
when,
yeah,
especially
yeah.
when Forest went with proper supporters
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but it was. But Hillsborough is one of the best atmospheres in the country when they all get to get going behind the team.
But they also told me one of the best atmospheres in the country is Lowfields when they're doing well.
Well, yes, I mean, you know,
at the works end, and we're going to find that one out from Craig Roach in a couple of minutes. Right, this is the time that the sports show really kicks into gear tonight, when we talk to the first of our three experts at our dedicated clubs for this season, Newark Flow Serve's first team manager and a very happy first team manager, Craig Roach, joins us. Craig, good evening.
Evening, Mick. Evening, Tony.
Hiya,
Roach. Craig, I said on Thursday that I fully expected the Wotherton game to be the hardest game so far of the campaign. I didn't get there because I was rugby and Tony was under the pier at Skegness. So it falls to you, Craig, to tell us how you got on and give us a match report, please.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely the hardest game for us so far on paper. You know, Wotherton, a good side. They'd won four of the last five games, three in the league and one in the cup. Started off even affair, first 10 or 15 minutes. We scored after about 15-20 minutes, and from there on in, the last time we totally dominated, and we walked in half time 4-0 up, and that's pretty much game over.
In the past few games, or certainly in the ones that I've seen, it's taken an half time team talk from you and Kirky to sort of move them up a gear. Did you do your half-time team talk before they went out this time?
Yeah, kind of. You know, we've been trying to get the lads to start off as we've been finishing games. You know, in the second half, giving ourselves a bit too much to do. And we've been saying every week, as soon as we start to put two halves together, you know, we're going to start, you know, really picking up some good results. But I'd say the first half was we were really pleased with the first half performance. We kind of put them on the back foot. At half time, the second half turned into a bit of a stalemate, to be fair. You know, they just sort of shut up shop, and we just sort of managed the game from there. And so there was no goal scored in the second half, but it was a job done by half time, to be honest.
Okay, I did send my spies down there to have a look at you, and the reports was good. And he was obviously getting excited about Jack Beckett, and Jack is a quality player, and certainly a quality player at Step 7 standard. Mm-hmm. He's been away for a few weeks. Any qualms about bringing him straight back in?
No, Jack, like I say, he's been away, got married, had his honeymoon. He's missed the last 4 weeks. He actually landed at Heathrow 7 a.m. Saturday morning, and we like I say, we threw him straight back in. Took him off after 70 minutes. He was a bit jet lagged. Obviously, it's great to have Jack back, and massive advantage for the old team to have him back involved.
Is that more now? Will you sort of do you build a team round a single person, Craig, or is it in at this level? See what you've got and work it out from there.
Yeah, like I say, Jack's an outstanding player, and he's always played at least one step or two steps above what he's playing at the moment. But we've got a few lads, not just Jack. We've got a few lads who are capable of playing at the higher level. And that's kind of what we've been trying to build on this year, because obviously the aim is to get promoted if possible. The target was top six, but realistically we do want to go up. We are aiming high, and all the players that we're bringing in, we're hoping that we can go up with and stay, and that's enough to stay up with next year, rather than trying to rebuild again for step six if we get what we want.
And all this depends on what your chairman can produce out of his hat.
Yeah, it does. Like you say, he's openly said when he came on the show with yourself that plans are in place and he's making progress on that, and he's promised us he's going to deliver the facilities we need to go up. So, you know, all we can focus on now is doing our bit on the pitch, and so far we're doing that.
I sincerely hope he's got it right, Craig, because I've been in this game an awful long time and I never thought I would live to see a floodlit football pitch in Newark. And if that happens at the end of this season, there'll be nobody happier than us two sitting in here who's reported on it for years and years and years and despaired for years and years and years. And let's just hope this is the season it all comes together. Craig, the reserves, so important. They won as well.
We did, yeah. And a fantastic result for them. They won away, local derby for them away at Southall, 2-1. Chris Self got a 91st minute winner. Always
good time to score
when you pick it up so late. Spoke to Lee today briefly, and he was very disappointed with their display on Saturday. And yes, they won and they got 3 points, but he's asking for a bit more of them. But they could do not a lot more than what they're doing at the minute. You know, they've only lost one.
Doesn't surprise you though with a perfectionist like Lee, does it?
No, it doesn't. And you know, they've got a great bunch of lads there, and they've got a good management team between them. There's Lee Biscuit and Graham Briggs working together, so they've got a bit of everything there. And again, same as us, it's so far so good. It's all working out well for them.
It is, it's excellent. Craig, we never give you an easy ride on a Monday night, and we always like to drop a question on you that I've not given you any prior warning on whatsoever.
He does his not to do with me.
And you're not getting away with it tonight. So here we go with Craig's. I just want Craig's comments because he's as a football man. Diego Costa has left Chelsea for Atletico Madrid. Was he a top-class centre-forward or a nasty little git who tried to get his fair professional sent off and lived on the edge of the rules? And will he be missed in the Premier League?
Well, I think the answer to your question is it was both. It was a top-class centre-forward, still is, and I think he will be missed. He was nasty as well, but I think that's what made him sort of player he was. I don't think if he was a centre-half, woke up Saturday morning, realised he was going to be marking Diego Costa, you knew he was going to go home that night, knowing you'd been in the game. So, obviously, he'd been to Atletico a few times, and whatever happened behind the scenes at Chelsea, I don't know, but they seem to have found a good replacement in Morata. I think he got hat-trick this Saturday, didn't they?
He did. He doesn't sort of carry the baggage that Costa played. I think Costa's one of those, Craig, isn't he, that if he was your centre forward, you would love him. If he wasn't, you would hate him.
Exactly, yeah. But you know, Chelsea seem to be happy with the replacement they've got, and he seems to fit into their mould a little better than what Costa did. Not quite as controversial, but yeah, certainly a good player.
They seem to be doing reasonably good without him, don't they?
Yeah.
Craig, as ever, thank you so much. Where are you at the weekend?
This Saturday, we're away at Dunkirk.
Okay, decent ground to play on then.
Yeah, nice ground. We've got them 2 weeks on the trot. We've got them AFC Dunkirk this Saturday in our league, and then the following Saturday, it's Not Senior Cup against their first team, who are a step above.
So is AFC Dunkirk basically their reserves then? Is that what?
They gained promotion and they changed the name that way so they could go up a step.
Right. And then a big one the following week at Lowfields. This will be the test.
This is a test, yeah. Like I say, it's pressure off the league again a week on Saturday, but it's a good test to see where we stand against a good step six side.
Anyway, let's get there. We need three more points first this week before we even start thinking of the Not Senior Cup.
That's right.
Craig, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mick.
And we'll catch up with you again next Monday night.
Thanks, Mick. Cheers,
thank you. Bye-bye.
See you Saturday, mate.
Cheers.
Craig Roach there, the manager at a very successful Newark Flowserve Football Club. Next up, another happy man. We're going to try and contact Rob Wildman. But first of all, let's find out what's happening in the world of national sport.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
FIFA are set to lift the ban on displaying the poppy after talks with the football associations in the UK. Last year, football's governing body fined England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland for their use of the poppy to commemorate Armistice Day, deeming it to be a political symbol. England and Scotland wore the emblem on black armbands during their World Cup qualifier in November. Wales and Northern Ireland were also fined for displaying the poppy in their stadium. Team bowler Graham Onions will leave Durham at the end of the 2017 season after failing to agree a new contract. Onions, 35, decided not to extend the contract extension with the club for whom he has played for since 2004. The parties could not agree on a two-year deal, whereby the second year was dependent on Onions avoiding injury. The ex-England seamer is Durham's leading all-time wicket-taker, having overtaken Simon Brown's record of 518 on September the 8th. I think that's a poor show by Durham. I really do. Tony, is your record wicket-taker? Give the lad a two-year contract. He's given it everything since 2004, and you're worried about he might get injured. Anybody can get injured. Jose Mourinho will face no further action over his dismissal at Southampton on Saturday. Mourinho was sent off by referee Craig Pawson in the final stages of Man United's 1-0 win for encroaching onto the pitch. 1 foot. Put 1 foot on the pitch. This time, I agree with Mourinho. They are after him. The FA received the referee's report this morning and as a consequence, I've decided to take no further action. In other words, the referee got it wrong.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
But somebody who never gets it wrong because he knows his stuff when it comes to rugby is Mr. Rob Wildman. Rob, good evening.
Good evening.
I know you're out and about tonight, but we've still got to ask you the questions. Newark,
yes.
Fantastic first home league match of the season. Brilliant result. You can tell me if it was a really good Newark side or a very poor Ilkeston side. But question one, I said right at the top of the show, this got you looking in the record books. When was the last time Newark scored 70 plus points?
I had to blow the cobwebs off, and I can tell you, September 2011, we had an excellent start to the season. It was our promotion year from the same league we're now in, and we ended up that season, I think we were just about unbeaten in that season, captained by Chris Tate, and Bob Nashhead was the coach. And then end of September 2011, we beat Modern 79-7, which is a statistically better result than the one on Saturday when we won 78-15. So there you go. That's been my been stressed out Sunday and Monday looking for these results under pressure to bring Radio Newark the statistical detail.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, Rob. From the outset, Newark took control of the match, didn't they? And it was, there was really from the third or fourth minute, there was only going to be one.
Oh, absolutely. Dan Mackey had a dream first half. The fullback, he scored three tries in that first half. We turned around 33-3, and everything just went our way. Are we a good Newark team? I think end of the season that will be the judge, really. We need to get a consistent team out every Saturday. Whether we can do that, we'll have to wait and see. I think Ilkeston started poorly and got poorer, really. So they've got one or two problems to solve there. We need our local rivals strong. So it wasn't a traditional
Ilkeston team that came across. But anyway, our boys played well. We played some good rugby. Scored 12 tries. Mackie got 3 from fullback. He kicked very well as well. His kicking was, the improvement in his kicking was a startling thing on Saturday. Fair play to the coaches. I think Pete Mitchell, our chairman of playing, has had a little bit of a coaching with him, and he got 9 conversions, 12 tries, 9 conversions in all. He got 3. Billy Charles came on as a second half sub and he got 2. The new prop, Fran Appleton from Worksop, he got 1. That must be his league debut try for him. Mikey Boyd, Matt Cloy, got a penalty try. Jordan Slack as well. So 12 tries in all. Very good performance, very heartening. And we're travelling away to Lincoln next Saturday, and we'll see how we do on our travels.
It's interesting how it can turn around so quickly, isn't it, Rob? A week last Saturday at half time and 20 points to 5 down.
Absolutely.
When you was going around looking for a cat to
I was certainly looking for
upset the RSPCA with.
I was looking for alternative entertainment after the first half at Oakham, yes. Yeah. But I think that's their comment.
1.5 matches later, bring on the world.
Well, let's not get carried away. we're going to go into Lincolnshire on Saturday, and don't remind me of our trips to Spalding, and my last trip to Lincolnshire was Market Raisin in the friendly when we lost by so many.
Too many.
So, I think we'll let's make a call on the team and how we're progressing after. We've played. It'd be a tougher game Saturday away to Lincoln. Let's see how we turn around there.
It was a very busy weekend at Cadham Road, Rob. The Colts was playing on
Friday night. They were 19-0. There was a statistical nugget from that game. I wasn't there. I know I wasn't there, but we won 19-0, and I'm told by my man that we scored direct from the kickoff. Played some good rugby, and James Harding, the fullback, scored direct from the kickoff. So stick that one in your stats book, boys. Yeah.
Sunday again, you wasn't there, but I flew the flag. Over 350, they estimate, girls in girls rugby teams all over the north of England sort of turned up on a lovely sunny afternoon. Every single pitch was in use, and it was a sight to behold. And I put in my little report, you cannot call it a minority sport anymore, girls rugby, and you can't.
No, I never. Hey, good.
No, you never have.
Good luck to the fantastic facilities. We're using the facilities. Take my hat off to the organisers. Fantastic day, and to the referees, we got out at short notice, and we've had some very complimentary remarks on social media today about the facilities and how it's organised. So no, the girls rugby coming forth, they're enjoying the rugby. I think we're all admiring what they're doing.
I think it's it was a cracking advert for the game of rugby, Friday, Saturday and Sunday at Kellen Road. Rob, I've got 2 more questions to put to you. We're going to make it a bit of a regular Aviva Premiership spot at this time of night. And looking at the table, my grandson's well impressed, but
yes,
I know Exeter had a cracking season last season. Newcastle are now up there, but my traditional heavyweights, such as Leicester and Northampton, are now mid-table. Are we on a change in the teams that's vying for the top, Robin? Is it down to money, or why in the last 2 or 3 years have the likes of Exeter and now Newcastle seem to be doing it come big on the scene?
I think, again, I go back to my standard remark I gave to you earlier about Newark and off to Lincoln. I think we'll wait and see how the season comes out. I think that Newcastle have got the best squad they've had under Dean Richards. I did say they're getting the top 6, didn't I, at the start of the season. So
he was listening as well.
It was he, really? Yes. Well, I'll give him, send him my best regards. we'll have to wait and see. I think it'd be good to see if there was a greater competition and that they were all vying for those, you know, the top 6, gets them into Europe. London Irish have started a little bit poorly. I saw them play at Sale the other Friday night and they were poor, and I see Northampton beat them on Sunday. I think we'll wait and see. I expect the the top dogs, the top money dogs, to emerge the at the top by the end of the season. But we'll wait and see. Certainly Newcastle are the strongest squad. Exeter are obviously done fantastically well. Seem to have recovered from, you know, got over the excitement of being champions, and are playing very well this season, and beat Wasps fair and square yesterday.
Now, interestingly enough, the England and Saracens number 8, Billy Vunipola, says that he would take a pay cut to play less rugby because he believes that players are at risk of burning out. He learned on Sunday he's going to be out for 4 months after injuring a knee in the Saris defeat at Sale. He's 24 years old and only just recently returned from a year blighted by knee and shoulder problems. He says something has to change. Kids want to play rugby because it's fun, but they also need to know it's tough, and it's normal to have surgery at 25 because you're worn down. I'm not complaining, I just want people to understand that having surgery is not fun, and it's not fun being injured. And what he's really saying is that we're starting them very young, and they're burnt out by 25. I've seen this as a football problem for a long time, but is this going to be a rugby problem, Rob?
I think it already is. Injuries in rugby have obviously always been a factor. There's more and more analysis of the injuries which are occurring now, particularly in the professional era. You know, they are, if you do an annual very detailed report on the injuries. Bonapola's making these comments as an ongoing row in rugby politics. We're back again to the proposals to extend the professional season from September to July. So the players' union are protesting about this. So it's an ongoing thing. One or two leading players who have the courage to speak above the parapet, and Vunipola's got a book out actually coming out this autumn, chronicling his life and how he's got to Saracens, how he's played for England. He's obviously a highly intelligent guy who wants to say a few things about the game. So I welcome it. And what he's saying, obviously he said a few things for effect to publicise the book, but also he's making a few points that you can only play this high speed collision sport so often, and players have to be properly prepared, but also like players who go into the professional game realise that injury is a fact of life.
It is. And Rob, as ever, a pleasure to talk to you. Mr. Rugby. Yeah. Rob, thanks so much. Let's hope that next Monday night you're talking to us about the successful
away,
trip.
3 o'clock at Lincoln, and a bit of exclusive news for you. We've got a home draw in the Cup week Saturday.
Oh, brilliant!
Home to Stewart and Lloyds, which will be announced in the morning. Yeah.
That's Kettering, isn't it? Stewart and Lloyds?
Corby.
That's
October 7th, second round of RFU Intermediate Cup on the Twickenham Trail, and I'm getting excited.
Good stuff. Well, we'll look forward to it. What standard are they? Do we know, Rob?
They're a league below us, so we've got every chance. Home draw, we've got every chance.
As Mr. Swain said, he wants to see a fortress Kelham Hall. Kelham Hall? Kelham Road.
Right.
We'll get the right venue. Rob, as okay. ever, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Rob. Bye-bye. I do like talking to Rob Wideman. His knowledge of rugby...
Yeah.
Trains are going. His knowledge of rugby... He's second to none.
It is, yeah.
Absolutely yeah. second to none, he is.
He's absolutely his Newark's very own Bill McLaren.
Oh, he is, isn't he? They'll be dancing in Kelham Road tonight.
Or Kelham Hall.
Or Kelham Hall, even. Bill McLaren, that was... I learnt where Hoyt and Kelso and all those places was through Bill McLaren. He's your favourite ever commentator at all sport, isn't
yes,
he?
Yeah.
He is your number one.
I went to Murrayfield... last time we were in Scotland and went on a guided tour around the place, and the press room is actually called the Bill McLaren Suite. You know, you can't get a higher accolade than that. Wonderful man. It was some of his phrases that he came out with were just absolute magic. And, you know, I mean, without him, I don't think I'd love rugby union as much as I do.
It's, get down to Kelham Road on a Saturday. Some of the phrases they come out with are absolutely magical. Yes, still to come.
But they always say sir afterwards when they're talking about the referee.
Oh, they do.
I don't know how they're spelling it, but I think it's S-I-R.
The Newark under 18 coaches got told off by the referee yesterday, and it was quite comical actually, because both Gregor and Mark have been there, done it, got the t-shirt, and the referee was probably 18 and 19. You could almost see him shaking as he was telling as he was tearing them off, and Greg and Mark were sort of looking at him. And at the end of it, both of them turned around and says, "Okay, sir. Yes, sir. Understand, sir." You know, but it was the comic side of it was brilliant, the way it was done was also quite still to come. Paul Halfpenny, and that's going to be fantastic as well. Before Paul, a quick roundup. I did promise you the non-league scene.
Yes.
So I know you're a big non-league football
much.
Fan, and there's quite a few of you out there that are. Controversy at Grantham's match.
Oh.
They went down 1-0 by a single goal at Altrincham. It's the first time they played there since the early 80s. With the Gingerbread's goalkeeper having the ball knocked out of his hands for the winning goal. There is, actually, on Twitter, a video of all this. And he jumps up, catches it, and it just got barged. And, of course, spilled it. But it was in his hands. Now, to me, he had it in both hands.
Yeah.
Knocked it down, put it in the back of the net, and then the referee did the 100 yards to get away from the Grantham players in about 2 seconds. But as Speedy put on, where's the video of the alleged dive by Grantham centre forward in the second minute when he got booked for diving? Adrian never normally gets upset.
Barging the goalkeeper used to be allowed in Bert Troutman's day, but
yes,
I don't think it is now.
Yes, it's not now. Anyway, on that defeat, Grantham has slipped to 11th in the table, which is, you know, halfway down. It's not good. That's the Evostick Premier. The Evostick Southern section, which is the one where our local teams are in, Cleethorpes lead the way. Hello, is anybody in Cleethorpes?
Yeah.
With Basford United second and Spalding fourth. I just cannot, and I know it's money, but I just, Basford, how well they're doing. And Chris Munro is a nice chap as well. So Newark Flosive should and could be the next Basford. Basford have done it. They put the money into it, and this is where you end up.
But when I first...
And they're still in the FA Cup. Now, come on, Flosive.
When I first started following football, it used to be who had the most number of points. And now it's who's got the most number of pounds.
Yes.
And it is.
Yes, and it's ruined it.
It is just the way of life, though, isn't it?
And it's even ruined it at this level.
Yeah.
Because that's where Basford are where they are. Because they've got the more pounds than Flosave or Newark Town.
Yeah.
There you go. It was the FA VAR's second qualifying round at the weekend. And Clipston Welfare, who have played 10 and lost 10, won. Beat Barton Town 2-1. If you look at the bottom of the table, Clipston have got 0 points and Barton Town have got 4. So
they're obviously a cup team.
The only winners in our area that I could find was Harrowby, and they beat St Andrews 4-1.
Yeah.
North Eastern Counties League, just a quick rundown. In the Premier Division, AFC Mansfield are 6, Renfrew 11 and Clipston 22nd, or bottom, another way.
Yeah.
Division 1, Ollerton are 13. Ollerton are finding the feet, aren't they? They struggled when they went into it. Yeah. And again, this is another thing that Flosave have got to look at.
Yeah.
Ollerton have done it. They've made the move. It's a lot harder there. Last year, they just avoided relegation. They just avoided it. This year, they're sitting comfortable mid-table.
But I am so delighted when I got that text from Roche this weekend to see we'd won 4-0. And it was 4-0 at half-time. Because every game I've seen them play, they've needed the half-time managerial sort of, you know, being told that they were not doing as well as they might do. It's a hell of a long way around rollicking, isn't it? But, I mean, they've needed that half-time.
I'm not going to be the killjoy. That squad is good enough to win that division.
Yes, yeah.
It's what happens off the field more than on the field.
They are in the same situation as Newark R&M were during the cricket season.
And they haven't got floodlights still.
They really want to win the title. Because promotion on its own wouldn't really justify the great start.
But if you win the title and you can't go up, those players will go.
Yeah.
In the National League, unlike last season when we was all supporting Lincoln, we've got nobody. Sutton United, you know, we went all the pies up. Sutton United, they're top of the table. Torquay are bottom. Torquay, how many years a league club? They're bottom. Yeah. In the Southern section, Truro City are top. I'll wear my Truro scarf tomorrow night. In the North section, Salford City are second, York are eighth, Boston United 18th, Gainsborough 20th, and your FC United of Manchester 21st.
Yes, I know.
Going the wrong way.
Going back to another of our...
you've been to watch them.
Going back to another of our favourite loves as well. There is a very famous railway engine called City of Truro, isn't there?
Yes. Mm. It didn't do 100 miles an hour, despite what they said, because that record sticks with the East Coast and not the Great Western. Every Monday night we have three wonderful men join us, so passionate about their clubs and passionate about their sport. We spoke to Craig, we spoke to Rob, and that just leaves Paul Halfpenny. Good evening, Paul.
Good evening, mate.
The last of our regulars to get their seasons under the way, and your ladies got underway with all four teams playing. Bizarrely, all four teams playing away from home. Probably a mixed weekend for you, Paul, but I would suggest most importantly the ladies' flagship first team, a comprehensive and a good win.
Oh yeah, right, miserable week for me, wasn't it? A weekend for me, but a great week for Ammo. Yeah, I mean, I thought that the ladies were going to have a good season, and what a start. Father against son on, with coaching, Ammo against his son.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah, it was, from all accounts, it was a super performance. I think two up in 10 minutes. Yeah, well worth their 4-0 victory. Very, very good performance. And a certain somebody turned up for training last week.
Ooh, we're getting closer.
We are getting closer.
We're getting closer.
Yes.
What? Who scored the goals, Paul?
I haven't a clue.
That's a good answer. We'll assume Laura Donaldson.
I don't think it was.
Oh.
I think she might have netted one. I'm just going by what Alex was telling me as he was there, but unfortunately he's not home yet, so I can't prompt him.
Anyway, whichever way you look at it, a 4-0 victory at Boots goes down as a very, very good result.
Well, certainly as they were the team that were relegated last year from the league above. Yeah, it's a very strong club.
Yes.
So, yeah, good result.
So, not such good results for the other three ladies' teams, and I know... probably slightly differently to sort of football when it's first team and reserves. Your ladies 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all thought of exactly on the same level. So just talk us through the other three teams, Paul.
Again, it's feedback I've had about the second team. A bit mixed. They lost 5-0 again at Boots, the early start, 9 o'clock. But from all reports, they battled well, and for 20 minutes they were just as good as Boots. But unfortunately, I think fitness told a big story there, and they imploded by 5 goals. But this is Boots' third team, and they had an ex-first team that's coming back, and she played and made an enormous difference, apparently. So it's not as bad as what the scoreline suggests. The ladies' threes, well, we didn't have a back line. The back line was missing this particular week, but we had what I thought was a fairly strong team, and I've never witnessed a game like it. How can you dominate a game and still lose 5-0? I still to this day can't get my head around it, but very good performance, and Sally, even though they lost as well, was quite upbeat about the fourth team performance, so it's not all as bad as what it seems on paper.
If you just look at the sheets, it wasn't a very good day for 2s, 3s, and 4s, but you've just said there's mitigated. So, Paul, if you can't get your head around being the better team and losing 5-0, you must have been just fairly mystified over the weekend.
Yeah. It was one of those games where we could have been 3-0 up in first quarter of an hour. We absolutely battered them. They netted. It seemed to be breakaways. It's because we didn't have the regular back line. Every time they got the ball and broke, we seemed to be at panic station, so we either gave away a goal or a penalty corner. So I think it's a case of looking at how we defend from higher up the pitch, and not to panic on the ball in our own D. There was a lot of sort of headless chicken behaviour in our own D under pressure. But apart from that, you know, the girls played exceptionally well. Jess Sheldon, young girl, made a debut, and she was outstanding. I don't know, I didn't get the results of player of the match, but I'm sort of thinking that she might have been up there and might have been close to getting it. Stunning performance.
So you don't know whether to praise them or to criticise them?
I've already praised them. I've already praised them.
That's the way forward.
It was a great team performance, and you can't really legislate as a coach when an entire defence goes AWOL, can you? So it's
oh, good stuff. Paul, very quickly, the youth section, if anybody is interested in hockey down there, the seasons are just getting underway. The men have got another couple of weeks yet. The ladies got underway, as we said, this weekend, just gone. There is still time for anybody who's interested in hockey to come down. And it's a Sunday morning if you're a junior and a Wednesday night if you're a senior.
Absolutely, yes. And myself and Sally are both down there now. With the juniors again. I'm doing under 12 girls. Sally's was doing it with me. I think she probably still will be, but she's going to move across to the under 14 girls as well. And a quick plug, we had a round of what we call Node League games on Sunday morning, and the showing from the under 14 boys and under 14 girls was quite immense. They battered Chesterfield, and the girls absolutely battered Southall Brinkley as well. They looked absolutely stunning. The under-14s do. It's we've got a lot of good hockey players.
Hockey on the hop in New York then, Paul. I mean, rugby's going the right direction. Football seems to be going the right direction. Hockey itself is definitely going in the right direction. You could go down there on a Sunday morning just to see how many youngsters are playing hockey.
The pitch is full. Lots of little ants running around on the pitch.
Paul, as ever, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I know it's the men's first against seconds in the last match before your men's season starts. The ladies, I think, have actually got a home match, the first team, this Saturday morning. So we'll talk about that one on Thursday. Is it Northampton, I think, they're playing? But anyway,
Northampton Saints it is,
Northampton Saints, so we'll see if we can. They're trying to make it a Fortress Kellam Road. Let's make it a Fortress Magnus as well. And then do that, they're well on the way. Paul, as ever, your company's great. Thank you so much. And she who must not be named yet has been training. So, fingers crossed, we're nearly there with a major, major signing.
I've got everything crossed.
Exactly. So, all right, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye. And we say that Jack Beckett is a major influence, or can be a major influence, on Flow Serve this season, because he's always played a higher standard, and he can teach these lads.
How old is
he? He can bring them to Jack.
Yeah.
Mid to late 20s, I'd have thought.
He's a player I've not seen yet.
Quality player. But if this young lady, who we mustn't mention by name, but she is the Sports Personality of the Year, signs for Newark, then you watch those ladies go. Becky Warner's there, Paskey's there, and if she's there, you watch them go. Don't forget, you can keep your eyes on our social media sites, because at the moment our podcasts are going on before we finish the show. It's that good. So you can listen to us again and again. Why you'd want to, heaven knows. But if you want to listen to us again, you can do. Just go onto the website, look in the podcast section, look in Radio Newark Sport, and there you will find us there.
We have interesting guests, in fairness, don't we?
A lot, much more interesting than me and you, Tony. Talking of interesting guests, two young cycling stars tomorrow. We showcase the youngsters again cycling tomorrow. We've also got Amber. It's Tuesday. And we've got Andrew Lowe and his boxers. Oh, dear. See you tomorrow. We love you.